This was a great interview. It was a short one. I only had him for 10 minutes, so I tried to get to everything as quickly as I possibly could. And I'll get to the interview very quickly as well. But first, let me remind you about 3-CHI and their Delta 8 THC. What is Delta 8 THC? It's a federally legal version of THC derived from hemp. This is USA-grown hemp. You're supporting an American small business by supporting 3-CHI, so go support them in the pandemic, especially with these lockdowns coming. Like Clem said on the podcast last week, listen, if they come again, you're going to want to be stocked up on your 3-CHI. So it's federally legal THC, like I said, and it's a more functional alternative to marijuana for those who want the same great feelings without the negative side effects. 3-CHI isn't just the best in the Delta 8 industry either. They invented the industry. So if you're looking for any kind of Delta 8 THC, look no further. These are the guys that invented it. These are the guys you want to listen to. Go to 3chi.com right now. That's the number 3chi.com to shop for Delta 8 vapes, gummies, tinctures, oils, all that stuff. You can make homemade edibles with this stuff. It is amazing. I swear by it. Use the promo code Robbie, R-O-B-B-I-E, at checkout, and you will receive 5% off your order. You must be 21 or older to purchase, and this will make you fail a drug test. But man, if you don't have to worry about those two things, I recommend 3-CHI very, very much. Now let's get into this interview with UFC President Dana White. All right, welcome back to My Mom's Basement, ladies and gentlemen. We've got a UFC edition of the show today because this weekend, UFC 255 has two title fights. It's a great pay-per-view. Valentina Shevchenko versus Jennifer Maia, Davison Figueiredo versus Alex Perez. Our girl Caitlin Chookagian's on the card. Shogun Rua is on the card. It is a fantastic under-the-radar card, I'll call it. Dana, we've got you here to talk about it. How are you?
I'm good, man. Yeah, I'm excited for this card, and I was just telling Jim Rome, this is one of those cards. Me and Rogan got on the phone, started geeking out about. We haven't done that in a minute, so that was fun.
It's one of those cards that may not have the biggest mainstream names on it, but I feel that these are the cards that always kind of outperform. And like the Thiago Santos card recently is a great example of one where we had like finish after finish after finish after finish. Do you give these guys better speeches on these cards? What is it, Dana?
Throughout this pandemic, when haven't we really delivered? I mean, these kids have been fighting like maniacs through this whole pandemic. And, you know, we've been on a great roll. And then with this card, I mean, you got Figueiredo and Shevchenko, the main event and co-main event, two absolute killers. Then you got Mike Perry and Tim Means. There's no way that fight isn't awesome, right?
That's Chookagian like in the BMF division.
You got that right. Chookagian versus Calvillo, Shogun versus Paul Craig, Brandon Moreno. Versus Royval. I mean, it just Joaquin Buckley, who's coming off, you know, one of the greatest knockouts you'll ever see. Shevchenko versus Lipsky. It just keeps going and going.
It's a great card for hardcore MMA fans. I would definitely recommend everyone check it out. Let me ask you this. We're nearing the end of the year now. You've been dealing with pandemic fights for a few months. Has it gotten easier since, say, March, April, or is it still super chaotic day to day?
You know, it's super chaotic. It hasn't gotten better. It's getting worse. You know, I kept wishing for 2020 to go away, and now 2021 looks like a total shit show too. You know, it's gonna be an interesting year.
Wow. So one of the first fights that I guess may be confirmed for 2021 is Conor McGregor versus Dustin Poirier. We heard today from the Mac Life that Conor McGregor signed his end of the agreement. Is that true? Have you heard that as well?
True. No, it's true. Yeah, he signed. It was never a concern. It's never like I was like, uh-oh, Conor hasn't signed his bout agreement.
Yeah. Once it got there,
you says he wants to fight, Conor McGregor shows up.
Totally. So you announced on this very podcast on September 30th that you had offered these guys the fight. And now here we are on November 19th. It's finally signed on both ends. On a scale of 1 to 10, how challenging was this one to put together?
Not at all.
Really?
That wasn't challenging at all. Yeah, no. There's so much more challenging shit going on right now in this business and in this world. That isn't one of them.
So another one of the things about this fight that was kind of in question, people said, hey, if Khabib is retiring, isn't the title going to be up for grabs? And maybe you put it on this fight, maybe you put it on a different fight, maybe this is a number one contender's fight. You have said, I believe Khabib will come back and fight eventually for 30-0. I saw today this quote from him. He disputes that. He says, next year I will graduate. I'd like to build on my thesis, do a master's course, dedicate more time to studying. I've bought sheep, tend to my farm. I'd like to develop this field a little. I have bull calves. Calves to feed. I have cows. He doesn't seem too interested in it. He said you could fight until you're 40, but there should be a goal, and he's reached his. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I think that those are definitely all things that he's looking at and excited to do, but I think that doesn't mean that he doesn't want to fight either. I give you a laundry list of shit that I got going on personally that I'm looking forward to too, but doesn't mean I'm not going to be doing what I do here.
Have you gone back on your mentality of like trying to get fighters not to retire then?
No, in terms of reaching
out to them?
But there's been a couple. No, I haven't reached out to Khabib since the fight. We talked after the fight. And that's it. The only two guys that I've off the top of my head, I don't want to say these are the only two guys, but that I can think of right now that I've ever done that with was Cormier. And Khabib. I mean, look at Khabib's last fight against Gaethje. With all the shit that was going on with him, you know, physically, emotionally, mentally, look what he did. I mean, he is the best in the world right now, period. I think he's the pound-for-pound best fighter in the world. And, you know, I think he wants one more, and I think he's got one more in him.
And I know you've mentioned that you have something special for him. I assume you have a name in mind that you can't say on this podcast. Is that fair to say?
Well, back when I said I had something special for him, that was something different. I mean, listen, if the world was still the way that it was, we weren't in this pandemic when I said that to him. The world was still the way it was. It was something totally different.
Okay.
Not important anymore.
One more thing on the Conor-Dustin Poirier fight. Can we expect that on Fight Island for sure?
I mean, nothing's for sure, but yeah, I mean, that's where I'm thinking. What I'm hoping to do is Fight Island. I'm looking to make it International Fight Week. The new Etihad Arena will be open, and that thing was designed with us in mind. Concerts, pool parties, all kinds of cool stuff. And yes, I hope to bring fans back. So imagine this, all the stuff that went on, all the things that people have seen all over the world with Fight Island, now you'll finally get the opportunity to come there, be a part of it, and make it International Fight Week. Mingle with everybody, and that's what I'm shooting for.
That's massive. Can I go?
Sure. Of course you can go.
I'll be there.
You better go.
I'll be there, Uncle Dan.
What the hell
are
you
going to
do if you don't go?
I know. Sit in my mom's basement? Come on.
Yeah. Where do you live in New York, right?
Yeah. I live in New York.
That place is all shut down. What the hell are you going to do there?
Nothing. I mean, I'd be watching a fight in my tiny little shoebox apartment.
Go to Fight Island.
I'll go to Fight Island. You and me sit next to each other. Maybe we'll wrap the belt around. We'll get like a belt just for Conor. We'll do it like the boxing. Like they just throw belts on everything. We'll wrap the belt around him after the fight together.
Well, what I would love to do is go there and do like, we'll get there and do a Saturday, Wednesday, Saturday fights.
Yeah.
So we'll do three fights in a week, pool parties, concerts, all kinds of other fun stuff. Everybody gets to kick around and tour around Fight Island and Abu Dhabi. And, you know, we kill it. We go out there and kill it. It'll be good to have fans. And the thing is in Fight Island, we can get fans from all over the world there. So it's an easy destination to get to, a fun destination to go to, and we can just fucking blow the doors off this thing.
That sounds absolutely amazing. I'll be there. Uncle Dana and Robbie take Abu Dhabi. It sounds amazing. It looks amazing. It's a thing. All right. So before I get you out of here.
I'm ready for some fights with fans. I'm ready to go to a live concert. I'm ready to have some parties. And I'm going to go to all this shit.
Call up some of your buddies for concerts?
Well, I want to mingle with the fans again. I want the fans back, you know? Yeah. So we'll figure out. We figured this whole thing out up to now. We'll figure out how to do this safely and pull this thing off in Abu Dhabi.
Yeah, I don't doubt it. Before I get you out of here, I would love to just touch on Paul Felder. I think this is an amazing narrative we had this past week where he stepped into the main event against Rafael Dos Anjos, a former champion, on like 5-6 days notice. He takes the fight at 155 pounds. He takes the fight at 5 rounds. He cuts the weight. He gets down to 155. He's fine. He puts on a phenomenal performance. Didn't win, but obviously, you know, he was not a cakewalk for RDA by any means. And then he, 3 days later, goes and commentates the Tuesday Night Contender Series. Do you want to just comment on how badass that was?
Yeah, he's awesome, man. He's not only is he an incredible fighter, he's an incredible human being. He's an incredible commentator. I mean, the guy can do it all. I have a ton of respect for him. I like him very much, and it couldn't happen to a better guy.
Yeah, the commentary teams that you guys have right now, every combination, I feel, is like so, so good. You've got a good group of broadcasters for sure.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. We you know, it's something that we've been building on for a long time. And one of the coolest things about the sport is how many of these fighters can actually do it, because it's not easy to do. It's a very tough thing to do. And whether it's sitting in on the ESPN desk or calling the fights or whatever it is, I love how many opportunities we have for them, you know, outside of the octagon.
Are you always receptive to that? If a fighter comes up to you and is like, hey, I'm interested in that, do you like putting them into those scenarios and seeing
my favorite thing
works out? Yeah.
How many other sports? You'll see a couple of guys from certain sports be able to do that. Not many get to do it. We actually get a lot of our athletes through there that get to do it.
And especially active ones. We had DC doing it actively. We've had Paul Felder doing it. I feel like that adds like a neat component to the whole thing.
DC's killing it.
Yeah.
Because DC's not only doing all the stuff that he's doing for us, he's doing a lot of stuff for ESPN too.
The detail show is great, yeah.
DC is making a real living doing that.
Yeah. All right, Uncle Dana, this has been a pleasure. Don't forget, UFC 255 this weekend, we've got two title fights, Valentina Shevchenko and Davison Figueiredo, both defending their belts. We've got some friends of the show fighting. Check it out on pay-per-view Saturday, ESPN+, all that jazz.
Later, brother.
Thanks, Dana. Appreciate it.